Hi, Lucy Hoff here, host of The Latest, the new evening edition of Today in Focus, The Guardian's award-winning daily podcast, now in video. Every weekday evening, we'll bring you up to speed on the news story that everybody's talking about in just 10 minutes. Subscribe to Today in Focus wherever you get your podcast, and you can also find The Latest on YouTube.
We're back with Tom Phillips. Tom, we were talking earlier about Trump's motives, his claimed motives, and perhaps his real ones for attacking Venezuela. It does seem as if there's something very personal about this, and you hinted at what perhaps the explanation for that might be. This $50 million bounty on the Venezuelan president, this accusation that he is the leader himself, the president, of one of the two drug cartels that he, Trump, has designated as foreign terrorist organizations. Maduro denies all of this. He's actually instead turned accuser and said that it's Trump who is behaving illegally in trying to topple him and to do it in order to get his hands, rather, on Venezuela's oil. You know, it is one of those things that is often sort of slammed as being kind of conspiracy theory when people very often on the left or even far left suggest it's all about oil. In this case, Venezuela's oil wealth is so huge. I just wonder if maybe it does play a part in the motivation. What, just give us a sense of the oil dimension of this.
Oh, well, I'm sure it does. And I'm sure, of course, that a big dimension of this is that it is largely a Trump maximum pressure campaign to strike some kind of deal. I mean, he's trying to strike a deal with the Brazilians, having caused one of the biggest diplomatic crises in decades here involving rare earths. And I'm sure, of course, that has been part of the conversation with the Venezuelans. It's worth noting that Chevron is producing rather a lot of oil at the moment in Venezuela. So it's not as if the US is not part of that. But I don't doubt that that is ultimately where we will end up. A deal involving Venezuelan natural resources, of course, it has the largest proven reserves in the world. And that maybe that will involve Maduro stepping aside and someone from his inner circle taking charge, and that being a sort of way of Trump perhaps saving face and saying, oh, there has been political change, when actually really there won't have been. We shall see.
This phone call that took place between the two men, it surprised a lot of observers. In the course of it, Trump reportedly told Maduro, you can save yourself and those closest to you, but you must leave the country now, as if it was an offer of safe passage for Maduro and his family, but on condition that he resigned right away. I mean, not many people, I don't think Maduro takes that deal. If he doesn't, what are the levers, I suppose, beyond an all-out invasion and bombing campaign, but what other levers does Donald Trump have to pull to prize Maduro out of office so he gets that win that you referred to?
Yeah, well, obviously they're piling on the military pressure at the moment with the 7th of the Navy lurking off Venezuelan northern coast. I'm sure there are back-channel negotiations going on involving, one imagines, Brazil, Qatar, perhaps some Europeans, trying to convince Maduro that his time is up and that he should go into exile, I don't know, maybe somewhere like Doha or Brasilia, Turkey, perhaps. I think one of the worries is, having put so many military resources in the Caribbean, having supposedly given this ultimatum to Maduro a few days ago, and Maduro, well, apparently from the footage we've seen of him dancing and singing on stage in Caracas, having rejected this ultimatum, he likes to joke now that he's as famous as Taylor Swift, he's as famous as Bad Bunny, and he sort of appears on stage. Presumably he's a little bit nervous. I mean, I would certainly be if I were in his shoes. My sense is that Maduro has, for whatever reason, decided some time ago that he is going to stick it out. I really thought, perhaps naively, during last year's presidential election, that that would be a very good off-ramp. But he didn't take that off-ramp. Perhaps he can't. Perhaps the political, military, criminal forces keeping him in place are so strong that actually, even if he wanted to go off and retire onto a beach in Cuba, he perhaps couldn't anymore. And I think that's really worrying, because that then leads to the question, well, what does Trump do? Can Trump really afford to, in front of his voters, and turn around and say, oh, God, yeah, it didn't work out again, guys, sorry. Or does he start bombing things, and not just remote jungle camps belonging to guerrilla groups like the ELN, but actually targeting members of the regime? And what on earth does that unleash? Another massive refugee crisis, more and more Venezuelans pouring over the borders into Colombia and Brazil, you know, the country fragmenting. Some people warn about a sort of Libya-style situation, rival camps in different parts of the country. So, you know, and does a Secretary of War who posts memes of turtles firing on boats in the Caribbean Sea really have the seriousness to understand what is at stake and what the risks are and what a complex place Venezuela is, or just bomb them all?
Yeah, no, I saw those memes posted by Pete Hegseth, just jaw-dropping that he was doing that exactly as a sort of cartoon character shooting boats from the sky. And Tom, before we let you go, we do always like to ask our guests a what else question. In this case, still related to Donald Trump, but a different part of the world. Donald Trump's been talking about Somalia and particularly about Somalian immigrants in Minnesota.
Look at their nation. Look how bad their nation is. It's not even a nation. It's just a people walking around killing each other. Look, these Somalians have taken billions of dollars out of our country. They've taken billions and billions of dollars.
And he's also attacked the Democrat from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, frequent target of his, member of the so-called squad of women in Congress, Democrats, all of color. Ilhan Omar was born in Somalia. The president referred to her as garbage. I mean, we know that Donald Trump does this, disobliging language about political opponents, often women, and certainly about migrants. I just wanted to hear your reaction from some distance from where you are there when you hear the President of the United States talking about a minority group of migrants like this, because it does seem pretty shocking, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's of course extremely shocking. It is unfortunately very familiar to those of us who cover Latin America, because we've spent the last few years listening to Trump refer to Mexicans and other Latin Americans as rapists, criminals, drug traffickers, bad hombres. I was recently on the Chilean border with Peru with a Venezuelan family who had fled a couple of years ago with their children through the desert. Unfortunately, Donald Trump's rhetoric is spreading throughout the region. So Chile in a few days is going to hold the second round of its presidential election. The likely winner is a man called Jose Antonio Kast, who has set up a Trumpian style campaign pledge to make Chile great again. He wants to build walls and ditches in the desert to keep the migrants out. And one of the Venezuelan man from the couple told me that, you know, he talks about us like we are trash. And they are already apparently fleeing again, moving from Chile back to Peru, and on the move, having been uprooted only a few years earlier because of the crisis in Venezuela. So it's just deeply, deeply sad and depressing how it spreads.
Yeah, as you say, what starts in the Trump White House doesn't stay or end in the Trump White House. Tom Phillips, thanks so much for joining me, offering a very different perspective on the events in the United States and coming on Politics Weekly America.
Thank you for having me.
And that's all from me for this week. For any football fans out there, and I know there are a lot of us about, depending on when you listen to this, the World Cup draw is about to be or already has been announced. And FIFA is widely expected to have bestowed its inaugural Peace Prize on one Donald Trump. The relationship between Trump and the FIFA Gianni Infantino has really blossomed ahead of next year's World Cup, but not everyone is delighted the two men are so chummy. To hear all about that bromance, listen to Friday's episode of Today in Focus. And for all your regular updates from the football world, make sure to listen and indeed subscribe to The Guardian's Football Weekly podcast. But for now, it's goodbye. The producer is Danielle Stevens, the executive producer, Maz Ebtahaj. I'm Jonathan Friedland. Thanks, as always, for listening.
This is The Guardian.